Amen. So take out your Bibles if you guys would. We're going to go to James chapter 1. We're going to go a whole lot of places, but I've tried to make it easy by putting it up on the board for you guys today. And by the way, we can sing that song every single week, can we? In a way, right? Doesn't it just speak to our hearts, where we are, what's going on, where we're living, right? And I know Cassie had a back problem this week, and I guess in goodness of God, how's it feeling, all right? It hurts. But praise God, he gave you the strength to sing anyway, and bless our hearts today. Hey, let's just have a quick word of prayer just to get our thoughts centered on God and on his word. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, dear God, for the worship. Thank you for Rosemary, Lord, the praise team, Lord, just everyone, Lord, who just led us in worship today, Cassie, Ansu, and everyone else. And Lord God, we just ask that you would just now speak to our heart in the power of your word by your Holy Spirit. Father, there's a myriad of things going on in our lives that we're probably thinking about. Take away those distractions. And Lord God, speak to us, Lord, because there's probably not too many of us that aren't struggling with the issues of life. And Lord, I just ask these things now in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. By the way, I just want to say it's so nice to have Verna's mom and dad in service with us this morning. So let's give them a hand, right? So we are going to jump in this morning and we continue our series of Facing Our Foes Big and Small. And here's one of the foes, right, that we all wrestle with. Doesn't it feel like life just never goes by without another problem, another issue? And we're going to focus on that this morning. I'm going to go right to our slides. Go right to the next slide, if you would, there, Andrea. And we want to focus today on this idea of finding peace and finding purpose in our problems. And it's kind of a little bit different way to think about that, right? Finding peace and purpose, how? In our problems. Because sometimes it seems like there's always something going on, right? There's always an issue, a worry, a concern, an anxiety. What do we do with that? And that's what we're going to kind of focus on this morning. And go back, but I'm sorry, I advanced it too fast there, Andrea. Just kind of a thought, and I sort of paraphrase this already, but it seems like our life is filled with one problem after another, which takes our time, exhausts our energy, and often steals our peace and joy. Can I get an amen on that, right? Amen, right? So it seems like God's speaking right to most of us here today, that's where we're at, right? So how can I face these problems in a more effective and hopeful way? And God's word is going to show us that this morning. So we're going to dive in. And I want to kind of get this eternal truth in your heart and your mind this morning, which is this. Problems are meant to be solved, not destroy us. So God never just heaps on and heaps on and heaps on to destroy you. By the way, even if he takes you home to heaven, he doesn't want to destroy your soul and your love for him and your peace while you're on earth, right? And I want to get this in our minds that, you know, God uses, and we'll talk about how, God uses our problems and our suffering for his purpose and for our peace. And I'll just kind of tee this up real briefly for a quick second here. Don't we often look for peace in all kinds of places? You know, it's like, if I can just get away, I'll have peace, right? And I don't know about you, as a parent, I have found that not to be true, right? And maybe as a grandparent, we haven't tried that yet. We're actually going to be taking Levi overnight because baby number two is coming really soon. I'm anticipating that will not be particularly a peaceful evening, but we'll see, right? So we look for peace in all these places, right? We look for peace in our finances. We look for peace in our seeming control of things in life. But we don't really control too much, really, honestly, either. But we're gonna talk about that. But the peace we're going to find can only find really in God. It's not a location. It's with a person. So we're going to just move on. And I want to just throw this out for a second. And by the way, has anyone ever felt like that guy? He's probably just like, ah. Like, not knowing what to do. You,
You see that face, that's kind of like an emergency room look right there. Someone's there and your family are just like, oh, where are we going with this thing, right? So I want to ask three questions this morning. I'm going to try to answer them, and then we'll talk about some other things in a minute. But life's problems. Here's a question. Why are we in this mess? Isn't that a good question? You know, we're Christians, right? We're God's people. Why is life so messy? Why is there so many problems? What's going on with that? And I'll throw this out. What's the extent of this mess? Does it affect everybody? Do we all feel this way? You know, and maybe if you're like under 10, you're not maybe feeling that way so much. But if you're over 10, you probably are, right? And then here's the question. Is there hope? And is there some limits to these problems? And that's what I want to kind of address first. So let's look at God's word, and we're going to dive in. And James is kind of our focal point, but we're gonna look at a few places. So here's the deal. Why are we in this mess? What is going on? Why is life so messed up? And I want to take us all the way back right to the book of Genesis chapter 3, and we kind of figure it out. So I want everybody, get this in your minds, right? And by the way, we all are in a mess, and the extent of it is pretty large, just everybody. But we'll cover that in a minute. But here's the problem, right? Adam and Eve rebelled against God, and they sinned. And the curse of that sin and the consequences of that sin is now on everybody and everything in the universe. Right? And that's a fact. That's the reality of. That's why life is so messed up. And you know, here's what the Lord said. It says to the woman, he said, I'm going to greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you will bring forth children, and your desire will be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. And I'll just take that last phrase. Here's the idea. This idea of husband and wife after sin, right? Adam and Eve. It became this tug of war. Who's going to be in control? Who's going to be the head? Who's going to make the decision? Who's going to do all those things? Right? So problems and conflict all resulted from sin. And it says, and to Adam he said, and get this, he said, because you've heeded the voice of your wife. By the way, is that a bad thing? All the ladies are going, no, of course not, man. What are you talking about, Pastor Gary? Right? It's not a bad thing, but it is a bad thing if you heed your wife and you don't heed God. You know what? That's the key, right? Like, you got to heed God. So if your wife's telling you something that God's not saying, don't listen to her. You heard it here, right? Right? And I'm all about, right, what they say, when mom's happy, everybody's happy, right? But when God's unhappy, everybody's unhappy. So we got to understand that. But check out what he says to Adam. Get this idea. He says, cursed is the ground for your sake. So like this idea of the curse of sin has affected everything. And you see that. In that day, it was more of a farming kind of culture, right? And you lived off of how well the crops did. And you guys all know this, right? Does anyone ever have, do you have to worry about the weeds in your lawn or in your garden? You know what? It may be really rainy and the weeds are there. It may be dry as a bone and the weeds are there and they are flourishing, but everything else is dying. That's the curse. Everything that we do is kind of has opposition and problems and conflict, and it all goes against the results and the product and the produce that we want. And that's what he's saying. So get this in our minds clearly, right? Everything we face, disease, problems, death, conflict, health issues, interpersonal relationship problems, everything that we face is a result of the fall. That's why we're in this mess. Everybody look up for a second. Really important, right? There is no way that we can fix the mess. There's no fix. On a human level, there's no fix to this mess. That's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus came, right? And back in Genesis 3:15, I didn't give it to you here. It talks about that fact. There's the first prophecy in Scripture of a Messiah, of a deliverer is in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And that is huge, right? So we're going to skip down. What's the extent of this mess? What's the extent? And I want to get this in your mind. Write it down, right? All people and all creation. There is nobody that is exempted. I don't care how good you are, how godly you are. Problems are going to find you. Cassie's saying about God's goodness is running after us. But the problems of the flesh are running right along with us. Right? They're there, right? And he says this on, this is found in the book of Romans. Apostle Paul wrote this, right? And by the way, Jesus said this in John 16:33. He said, in this world, talking to the disciples, he said, you what? You will have tribulation. I wish it said you might, or your friends might, but it says you will have tribulation. You will have problems, right? But then I'll just go back to this passage. It says, look at Paul, where he says, I consider that the sufferings, and that's another word for problems, we suffer, we deal with these issues. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation, in other words, like all of creation is just waiting with bated breath to be delivered from this curse. It says, eagerly awaits the revealing of the Son of God, for the creation was subjected to futility. And by the way, look down at verse 22. It says, and we know that all creation groans and labors. Anybody groan? Right? We all do sometimes, right? You know, sometimes it's under our breath, but we groan, right? We groan with how life is so messed up. You know, and we could look across the globe, personally, professionally, politically, in every way, the curse is evident in this world. It really is. There's no question about that. But it says, check out the last part. What about us Christians? But we also, who are the first fruits of the Spirit, even believers in Christ, look what it says, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. So get this point, right? The extent of the mess of problems and suffering is everybody. It's the whole world. We all got this problem. So we're going to slide down. And, by the way, Peter said this. By the way, everybody look up for a second. Because here's the deal. We probably heard those truths before. We kind of know them. But when it happens to us, we say, why me? What's going on? And this passage says this, right? 1 Peter 4, it says, beloved. And he's talking to believers, right? We're going to study this book, by the way. The next thing we go into, we're going to talk about what's going to be called the school, the series. And it's the school of suffering. And how do we live in light of the problems in this life that we have in the world? But he says, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Everybody look up. Get that in your mind, right? Don't think it strange tomorrow when there's a problem, because everything's broke. You know, yeah, by the way, you know, like a lot of times as guys, we fix things, and one of our favorite tools when we don't know what to do is duct tape. Right, Chris? Right, Chris? Right? You know. By the way, it's strong. You know, it does a lot of stuff, right? But guess what? Duct tape is not a permanent solution to a problem, right? It's not. And we have no permanent solutions to this problem. We really don't. There's no permanent solutions to that. So everybody understand, do not think it's strange when bad stuff happens to even good people. That's just because of the curse. But understand this, right? God has a better plan. And God has a fix. And that's what we have to keep our sights on. So we're gonna slide down. So let's talk about this just for a second. And, here's a question. And we kind of just sang about this, in that song, which I love so much. Here's the hope. Is there hope and is there limits? And the answer is yes. Yes, yes, yes. Amen, amen, and amen. There is the hope. And there is the answer, right? And look what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And by the way, the Corinthian church is a lot like us. We love God, but we love everything else too, sometimes more than God. You know, we love our sin. We love what we think is going to get us. It never gets us where we think, but we like that, right? And in the Corinthian church, they wrestle with these things. But look what Paul said. He says, no temptation. I want you to get this word in your mind, right? We'll see this word, temptation. It has the idea of a trial, a test. And by the way, God's not tempting you. We just read that in James. God's not tempting you to sin. We're tempted when our desires want what it wants so bad that we go after something that God forbids, right? But look what he says, no temptation has taken you or overtaken you except as is common to man. So there's no trial, by the way, there's no temptation to sin, there's no test, there's no trial, there's no problem that you are experiencing that is not experienced by all of mankind. By the way, for all of history. Maybe a different form or a different fashion we see it in, but we all are wrestling with certain things. But I want you guys to get this in your mind. And we just sang this in that song about the goodness of God. Look what it says. What's in black there? Dark. But God is faithful. And check it out. He will not allow us to be tempted or tried beyond what we are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear. Amen, right? Amen. Right? But here's the thing. Let me ask the question. Let's be honest. How many of you have said, I can't go another step with these problems? I'm beyond the limit. I'm over the edge. How many people have said that, right? Isn't that how we feel? By the way, thank God knows better that we can't go any further, but it always feels like we're on the edge of the precipice and we're about to fall in. Doesn't it? It feels like we're done. We can't go anymore. There's no more energy. There's no more emotional energy left. We're done. But God says no. He says he's faithful and he won't allow us to be tempted or tried beyond what we're able. And he'll always make a way of escape that we might be able to bear. I'm going to throw this out. That's what we have to focus on and think about and talk about and keep in our minds. The truth of God's word. Remember we read this in John chapter 8, that what? The truth will do what? Set you and me free from our worries, from our cares, from our overwhelmed sense. The truth will set us free. You know what? You feel like you're at the edge, and by the way, I felt like it too a lot this past year, but you know what? There was always a little bit more in the tank for the next day because God put it there. Right? Amen? That's what I want us to understand. So there's hope. So let's talk about this thing called trials. By the way, how many people want to run headlong into problems? I don't see anybody. What's going on here, right? None of us do, right? But I want to say this, right, that God, and we're going to skip down to our next part. We need to understand God's purpose in problems, in trials, in tests. And I want you guys, by the way, take a picture of the slide. There's something to think about. There's something to hold on to. Understand God's purpose for problems. And here's the first one, right? And we're going to cover these real quick, you know, in depth in a second. But here's the first one. The problems and things that we face, it strengthens the foundations of our faith. We'll talk about that in a second. How about this one? You know what? Problems sometimes... it restores our focus. In other words, when everything's going really good, we tend to drift away from this close walk with God because we think we got the world in our hands, right? So problems restore our focus. Here's another one. Problems and trials and testing reveal our sin and our rebellion against God. Sometimes we're having problems because we're running away from God or doing everything God says don't do. So it reveals those things, right? And by the way, problems also stimulate our growth. Let me ask you guys a question. When everything is going smooth in your life, you know, for those one or two days that happens, do you want to change anything? Absolutely not. I just want to keep going on this trail. This is good. So problems stimulate our growth. And you know what? the way we handle problems really brings glory to God, just like Jesus. So we're going to dig into that. Let's just dig in real fast for a second. So here's the first thing. Problems, right? This, by the way, everybody stop for a second. We just come step back 1 minute. Problems, right, are something that God used with purpose to make us be like Jesus. God uses problems to get us on track. God uses problems to make us the disciples that he's looking for. So the first part is this. Problems strengthen our foundations. And I want you guys to get this in your mind. What are some foundational truths that problems help us strengthen up? And here's one. Guess what? God is not there to torture you, make you miserable, you know, wreck your life, wreck your family. That's not what God's about. And a foundational truth is God is good. You know, we like to say it in our culture, right? God is good all the time, and all the time God is good, right? You know, we can say that over and over and over. We love to say those things, but here's the deal. We got to believe those things. In the heat of the battle, when the problem is bigger than you want it to be or bigger than you are. And get this verse, Isaiah 55 says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So here's the first thought, strengthen our foundation a little bit. God's plans sometimes are hard for us to understand and fathom. Because he's God, and we're not, right? Big difference, right? But I'll throw this out. But God gives us his word, and he gives us his Holy Spirit so that we can discern what God is doing in his time. Here's the second one, right? And how about this one? God's good. "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." And God said this to Israel nationally while they were being in captivity. God says, guess what? Even though you're in this terrible spot you don't want to be in, my thoughts towards you are good, and they're of peace, not of evil, and I want to give you a future and give you a hope. And by the way, God always wants to give us a hope, certainly in eternity and in this life as well, so we can be a glorifying item for him. So Jeremiah 29. And then how about this one, right? "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he what? Will direct our path." So you know what we got to do? And I just kind of summarize these at the bottom. God's ways and thoughts are higher than ours. He's great. God is always good. It's his character. By the way, you guys remember, I remember my parents taught us this prayer when we were little kids. Remember you say this before the meal? God is great and God is good, and we thank him for our food. Those verses kind of lead us that direction. That's kind of a pretty biblical prayer, right? So God is great. His thoughts are higher than ours. He's always good. It's his character. And I trust him even when I don't understand. And that's the key thing, right? So I got to trust God. I don't understand. God has not revealed everything maybe to me yet. But I'm going to trust God anyway because of his character, of who God is. And by the way, those are some foundational things that hopefully problems solidify in us. I can trust God. He's higher than me. His thoughts are greater than mine. He's always good, and he is trustworthy and faithful all the time. So problems strengthen that foundation. But we got to come back to that. I want to say, everybody look up. We got to come back to that. Even when we don't know what's going on, we can't figure it out, we got to come back to those three things, right? God is greater than I am. I can trust him because he's always, always good. Okay? Key foundation. And problems bring us back to that. Because, by the way, a lot of times when we go into a problem, in the beginning especially, do we really understand what's going on? Do we understand why we feel so terrible? What's happening? Why is this going on? We don't really know a lot of times. So we're going to go down. Here's the next thing. What else does problems do? We're going to go to letter B. And here it is, right? Problems restore our focus. And I want to, by the way, Paul wrote this in the book of Colossians. And he said, "If you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God." that's sort of the command. But look what he says. He says, set your mind on things above, not on things on earth. Everybody look up. Where's your mind right now? Is anyone thinking about lunch? Raise your hand. Is anyone thinking about tomorrow's Labor Day? We got this big barbecue going on, right? Yeah, yeah. It's the end of summer. We gotta grab the last day of summer and do something fun, right? You know? Look what God says, right? He says, set your mind on things above, not on things on earth. He says, for you died and your life is hidden with God. When Christ is who our life appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So here's the thought. When you guys experience problems, especially life-threatening ones, doesn't the priorities of life suddenly become a whole lot more clear? The things that we fight about and argue about and clamor to get and strive for, all of a sudden, they don't matter that much. And that's what we're talking about. Problems restore our focus. When things are good, we focus on everything else but God. Problems and trials clarify our priorities. When life and death is on the line, all of a sudden things get real clear. We understand what's important, right? So isn't that true? So guess what? So problems do what? They strengthen our foundation of thoughts about God is good, God is greater than I am, and I can trust him. And when I experience problems, all of a sudden the priorities of life become really, really clear. Right? That's really true. So we're going to go on. How about the third thing? What else does it do? Here it goes, right? Problems reveal our sin. I'm sorry, you guys. That's true, right? They reveal our sin. And check out by the way, David wrote these Psalms. You remember David? And by the way, a couple key Psalms. We're not going to look at them all in depth today. Psalm 38 is when David is just feeling the pain of his sin with Bathsheba. Psalm 51 is another psalm where David is in despair. He can't do anything because he's so racked by the guilt and the effect of his sin. And Psalm 40 kind of summarizes. Look what he says. He says, for innumerable evils have surrounded me. My iniquity or my sin have overtaken me so that I'm not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore, my heart fails me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me, O Lord. Make haste to help me. So sometimes problems reveal our sin. Like when we feel that bad, something's probably going on. And I want to say this, and I wrote it here. While we look at Proverbs 19 first, it's not good for a soul to be without knowledge, and he who sins hastens with his feet. The foolishness of a man twists his way, and his heart frets against the Lord. This is what sin does to us, right? So here's the thought, right? Problems and trials can be a result of our sin. Right? The Bible says this, the wages of sin is what? Death. Right? Thank God the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. But the wages of sin is consequences that are bad. And sometimes our problems are a result of our sin. Here's the thought. Everybody look up. You guys can see up on the screen. When we thoughtfully reflect on our problems or our trials and how they came about, they often reveal our sinful thoughts and motivations. Isn't that true? So we're having a problem, maybe having a relationship problem, having a fight with our spouse, having a fight with our kids, you know, having difficulty at work, difficulty at school, difficulty at church. Relationships, guess what? We got to be thoughtful and we got to kind of say, what's going on here? And problems, by the way, make us do that. Again, you know, if everything keeps on going good, I don't care who I step on, who I hurt, what happens. But when the bottom drops out, now I got to look and see what's going on. So very important thing. How about the next thing? What's the next one? Andrea, advance me. I'm kind of slow here. There it goes. Problems stimulate our growth in a huge way, right? It says, first one is knowledge. I want you guys to get this in your mind. I'm going to ask you guys a question. Did Jesus ever suffer before the crucifixion? Yes or no? Raise your hand. He did, right? He did. And I want you guys to take, by the way, it's kind of hard to fathom. We talked about this in our VBS class, wasn't that? Think about this for a second. Jesus is 100% God, 100% man. The human part of Jesus learned what it was like to be a man through suffering. Remember, Jesus was hungry. Jesus thirsted. Jesus was sad. Remember when Lazarus passed away? Jesus was like beside himself a little bit, right? Jesus, you know, he felt the pain of people with illness that couldn't be healed. The blind man, the leper. Jesus felt all that stuff, right? And he understood what it was like to be a human being. And it says this in Hebrews chapter 2. Check out what it says about Jesus. It says, it was fitting for him for whom are all things. In other words, Jesus is the creator. And by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. So I want you guys to get this in your mind, right? That the Lord Jesus Christ, he was perfected in his humanity by the sufferings of this life. And by the way, you guys might say, really? How about Hebrews 4 says this? It says, we don't have a high priest who cannot do what? Cannot understand our infirmities and our weaknesses. But we have a high priest who was tempted or tried in all things, yet without sin. And by the way, later on it says, then it says, do what? Come boldly to his throne of grace to find help in time of need. You know why he's helpful? Because he knows how me and you feel. He knows the despair. He knows the pain. He knows the suffering, right? So Jesus suffered, right? And it caused him to grow. I want to throw this out to us. When we suffer, the ultimate plan isn't just to make us miserable. God wants us to grow in our compassion for others. God wants us to understand the effects of sin. God wants us to understand there's a way out. God wants us to grow, right? And look at Psalm 119. It says, it is good for me that I've been afflicted. By the way, anybody ever say that? God, that punishment was so good. Give me some more. Anybody ever thought that way? No, right? But by the way, the Proverbs say this, or Ecclesiastes, I forget which book it's in, but it actually says, you know, it's actually better to be sorrowful than to be joyful, right? But here's the idea, right? It's good that I've been afflicted. Why? That I might learn your statutes, that I might learn your word and understand how things really work because you're God and I'm not. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. Now, I'll be honest, you know, I think a lot of us are not quite sure about that. Is God's law more important or is the money more important? Right? The psalmist said, God's law is more important, but I know a lot of times we're going like, well, if I could just get a few more bucks, I'd be good. Isn't it true? Like, we're wrestling with these things, right? But problems cause us to grow. And I'll throw this out. You know, in the past year, and by the way, I've experienced some, like, I guess I preached on this stuff way back when I was younger, and it wasn't quite the same. Over this last year, we've had a lot of losses in our family, a lot of illness, a lot of problems. All of a sudden, those things that I could teach because I understand the concept, but now I can talk about it from someone who's gone through it. And I want to say this, as we think about these problems, right, they really stimulate our growth. And they begin to teach us what God's word really means and what it says. And I want to encourage us, right? Problems and suffering cause us to seek answers and knowledge that we don't possess. Problems and suffering are a catalyst for learning and growth. I don't, by the way, amen, right? I don't like that. Yeah, anybody like that? No, right? We want to learn just by, you know, tell me on Sunday morning. And I hope Monday's wonderful and Tuesday's better and Wednesday's even better than that. But we really learn in the crucible, not in the vacation. Right? That's the challenge. So we got to get that, right? Problems stimulate our growth for knowledge. We'll skip on down. Take us down, Andrea. Problems stimulate our growth in faith. Look what Peter said. He says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Guess what? How does this work? Let me read the next verse. We'll kind of summarize that. Look what James wrote. Jesus' brother, by the way. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. By the way, let me stop for a second. Does that make any sense? Does your neighbors, do they do that? I don't think so, right? Count it all joy. It says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And by the way, this idea of patience is this. Steadfastness and perseverance. Knowing who God is. Knowing he's on the throne. Knowing he's going to work out his will. Right? That's what that is, right? And he says, but let perseverance or patience have its perfect work, that you might be perfect or mature and complete, lacking nothing. So let's explain. What do problems do? Problems and suffering test our faith, and they cause us to trust God and see his faithfulness in the situation. So the current problem I'm in, right? By the way, how many of us have had a problem that we can't solve? And here's one. You know, a lot of times, you know, me and Pastor Anthony, we're pastors. I've never been able to go to a hospital and cure someone who's sick or raise the dead. I don't think, Pastor Anthony, have you made it yet? No, right? We can't do that. We can pray for you. We can encourage you with the word. We can love on you. We can hold you in your grief. But we can't do that. We can't change those things. It's not possible for us to do that. But problems and suffering cause us to trust God because he can. He can, right? And when I learned that today, and this is number two, now tomorrow when I'm faced with the next problem, I have a basis to approach that problem. The results cause us to trust him in the next situation. And here's the funny thing, right? We have faith. We believe in Jesus. We trust God, we say. But when we have tried God and we found him faithful, now I can really trust God in the things of life. Make sense? That's what we're talking about, right? So it stimulates our faith so much, right? Andrea, take us down. It also stimulates our growth in this area. And I'm going to move quickly here. Humility and dependence and character. When I get into problems, I realize I'm not the answer. I'm not the answer. God is the answer, right? It causes me to depend on him. Paul found out. He says, God said to Paul, after Paul sought him three times to probably, he changed his blindness that he was dealing with. He had an eye issue that was really significant. He says, my grace is sufficient for you, and my strength is made perfect in weakness or infirmities. Problems and suffering force me beyond my own strength and power. Isn't that true? How many of us, let's be honest, right? Anybody face a problem this year that you could not fix? Put your hand. Couldn't fix it, right? Problems take us beyond us, which, by the way, is the place to be, beyond us. This causes me to see that God is the power and strength I need, and this changes my character. It makes me humble, useful, pliable, compassionate, able to meet someone and just understand what they're going through. To be their comforter, not their judge. Right? Aren't we so good at that? Even people, sometimes we see people, their problems because of their sin. God didn't ask us to judge them. God asked us to confront them, comfort them, and point them to Jesus. Right? I do that so much better when I've suffered myself. Right? That's kind of the point. Stimulates our growth that way. And here's the last thing. Problems cause us to glorify God. Romans 8:28-29, right? We are becoming like Jesus. You know that word Christians means we're supposed to be little Christ? We're becoming like him, right? And it says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he predestined that they would be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters, right? We become like Christ. And check out this verse. It's probably a little thought about verse that we read. Beloved, we read this part already. Don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened. But everybody get this out. Check out what it says. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering. Doesn't that seem a little countercultural? Boy, I'm so glad I'm suffering for Christ. I don't hear that a lot in the world. I don't even hear that a lot at church. When we're thinking about suffering, we're just saying, how do I get out of it? But here he says, our suffering, right, when we suffer like Christ, we actually bring him glory. And look what it says. It says, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, ye may also be glad with exceeding joy. So when we as Christians go through stuff and handle it in a Christ-like way, guess what? It stands out. And who gets the glory? Not us, God. A lot of times we talk to people and they say, man, I knew you before you were a Christian. I'm so glad that you're a Christian now, right? Think about that when it comes to suffering. So we're going to slide down. And we're going to close out. So how do we find God's peace and joy? What do we do with that, right? Here's the thought. And by the way, all these scriptures, take a picture of that, right? Kind of help. But this one kind of summarizes it. Here's the Apostle Paul. Before this passage, he said, I am hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Right? I'm going through all these things, but I'm not overwhelmed by them. I'm not overcome by them, right? And here's what he said. He says, therefore, we don't lose heart, even though our outward man, by the way, is perishing. And that's kind of the worst thing. We're going to ultimately die. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So here's this place, right, that we want to get to. When we begin to understand, right, problems affect all of us. There's no one in this world doesn't have them. It's all common demand, but God's faithful. God's all-knowing. God's greater than we are. God's always good. I can trust him through the problem. And God is using all these things to make us more like Christ. And that's why I can kind of begin to find my peace. You know what? This is tough right now, but I know God's doing something special in me and in these other folks that are suffering maybe along with me. So here's where we end up. Problems no longer break us. We see God's hands in all things. And we live now with eternal hope. By the way, I want to say that there's sort of a tension there, right? A lot of times people are saying, I just can't wait till the Lord comes back and takes me out of here. Amen. But he might not come back today. Right? So we live now with eternal hope that one day it's all going to be great. But we live now in that everything we're going through, God is accomplishing his purpose for today in me. So there's this thing. We're living now. We're looking forward to heaven. But we're living now until Jesus comes. Right? That's the place we want to get to. We want to find God's peace and so I just want to take us down to our last slide there, if you would, please, Andre. Changing my perspective. By the way, when you came in today, we were saying, you know, I just can't wait to suffer. It just doesn't work in our humanness. It doesn't work that way, right? Let's change our perspective for a second. Problems and trials are a natural part of life in a broken world. So guess what? We could all work together and we still won't solve that problem. Okay, it's real. God loves us, and by the way, and he is always for us. Always. Right? We can trust him. God uses our problems purposefully for our growth and good. Right? We got to believe that, right? Like problems are not to break us. God's using them for his purpose and our good. Make us more like Christ. Our peace is always in God, not in the absence of problems. But I just kind of thought, just occurred to me, kind of a crazy thought. Can you imagine you were a travel agent and your number one selling line would be, this place has no problems. Everyone would want to go. I don't care how much it costs. I don't care how long it takes. I want to go there. That place does not exist. Doesn't exist, right? Peace is always with God. And then I'll leave us with this thought. We're all wrestling with something. Let's respond thoughtfully to problems. And let's embrace the change that God is trying to bring about. Right? Let's embrace the change. We're going to pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you, dear God, that you are a God that is good all the time. And Lord, you're a God that's faithful. And I pray, dear God, that you would change our perspective about the problems and the pains and the challenges and tests and trials of this life. And I pray, dear God, that we would leave this place much more thoughtful about why we have them, what they're for, and what you are trying to accomplish in us. I pray, dear God, that as we experience these issues, Lord, that you would help us to really think deeply about these things, and Lord, that we would make the changes, Lord, that these tests and trials, Lord, were intended to bring about in our lives. Father, work in us. Lord, at the same time, Lord, this is not just an intellectual problem, but an emotional one. Father God, I praise you that you're the God of all comforts. And I pray, dear God, that you would comfort us, Lord, today in whatever spot we're in. Lord, I pray that your grace would just really just help us. And Lord God, I just pray all these things in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. Our praise team is going to come, and they're going to sing just a couple stanzas of an old song with a great message. Because he lives. Because Jesus conquered everything, we can go on.
Shall we all please stand as we sing our closing hymn?
That is our hope. So as we leave this place, right? Remember, the purpose is, right? God's purposes in these problems are strengthen the foundation. We know who God is, right? Maybe some of us need to restore our focus. Maybe God's trying to reveal our sin. And for sure, God is trying to stimulate our growth. Or maybe our problems are God is being glorified in the way that we deal with them, and He is reaching people on earth because of how we handle them. Amen? If there's anybody that needs prayer, anybody with a need, please, please grab me, grab Pastor Anson, grab Jonathan, grab one of our deacons. We would love to spend time with you and just encourage you today. And even help sort these things out. And maybe you can help us sort ours out too. Body at work, right? Pastor Anson is going to close us out with a word of prayer. We hope you have a great day today and a great holiday tomorrow. And we look forward to seeing you next
week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your word. Your word that is sharper than any two-edged sword, Lord. That comes to strengthen us. To help us understand your purpose for our lives. We thank you, Lord, that we have hope in you, even in the midst of our trials, even in the midst of our circumstances, even when we cannot comprehend why we find ourselves going through. You are still God, and nothing changed about you. We thank you this hour, Lord, that we will continue to hold on to you and believe because you live. Even in the midst of our circumstances, we can face tomorrow. We can face those uncertain things, oh God, that we cannot comprehend because you live. As we go this week, Lord, we say, go with us, oh God, that we'll continue to just trust in you and hope in you and cling unto you for the promises that you made, that you will never forsake us, nor will you ever leave us. Bless us now and bless the day as we go forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.